Lord, open our eyes and our ears and our hearts this morning to your word. Encourage and inspire us, we pray. Amen. So today, as you know, we are, just grab my clicker, we're continuing our series on unlikely heroes of the Bible. And this morning we're going to be looking at King David, an ancestor of Jesus, whose story of saving and uniting Israel foreshadows the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But our reading this morning gives us a little bit of an idea as to why he fits easily into the unlikely heroes box. So let's go back to the beginning. Like Jesus, David was born in Bethlehem. The youngest of eight sons of Jesse, he spent his youth tending his family's sheep. And during this time, he developed a real spiritual devotion, and he honed his skills as a musician and also developed shepherding skills, which we know were to come in very handy later in his life. His life changed radically and unexpectedly when the prophet Samuel, directed by God, anointed young David as the future king of Israel, passing over his older and physically more imposing brothers. David's ascent into the public eye then occurred, as we know, when he volunteered to fight Goliath, a giant Philistine warrior who had been taunting the Israelite army. A sling, five smooth stones, a dead giant, David, a national hero. But as David's popularity soared, King Saul grew violently jealous. Fearing for his life, David was forced to flee and live as an outlaw in the wilderness for many years before eventually becoming king and uniting Israel. He secured Israel's borders against hostile nations, and he brought a period of unprecedented economic prosperity. A hero. But one day, he's walking around the roof of his palace, and he sees a very attractive woman, Bathsheba, bathing on one of the rooftops below. He has the choice to look away, but he doesn't. And one choice leads to another. So he sends for her. Adultery, an unexpected pregnancy, and then David's awful plan to send Bathsheba's husband to the front line of battle deliberately so that he will be killed. Then a hastily arranged wedding to Bathsheba. So in chapter 12, God sends the prophet Nathan to David with a story about a poor man who had just one little lamb which he loved. A rich man with many, many sheep stole and cooked the poor man's lamb. "That is shocking," says David. "A man like that deserves to die." And then Nathan delivers the kicker punchline: "You are the man. Why did you despise the word of God by doing what is evil in his eyes?" David is deeply convicted of his sin, and this is the background against which he writes the psalm, which we heard just now. David genuinely repents. He names what he's done, no excuses, and he receives God's forgiveness. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, Nathan says this: "The Lord has taken away your sin." But his actions, as you may know, have severe consequences, and David's later life is beset with family dysfunction. adultery and murder, an unlikely hero. How can such a person be the one whom God chooses and loves and blesses? One through whose bloodline Christ is born. Well, let's go back to the scene of David's anointing by the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16, where God tells Samuel to anoint the youngest and most insignificant of his sons. This is what God says to the confused prophet. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I think that's well worth remembering in a celebrity and appearance-obsessed culture. And we're reminded also of Samuel's prophecy to King Saul a few chapters earlier. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people. Flawed as he was, David throughout his life obeyed the greatest commandment given by Moses to the people of Israel and quoted in the Gospels by Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. When I was training for lay ministry, I had a classmate whom I'll call Graham. And he had such an infectious enthusiasm in our training sessions. He absolutely loved being there. And one day, I remember him turning to me with a huge smile and saying, "Helen, I just love all this God stuff." And I remember thinking, I want some of what Graham has. It was infectious. David, likewise, truly loved God. He deeply repented after his adultery with Bathsheba because he had offended a God he loved. Listen to what he said in that psalm, verse 4. "Against you, you only, have I sinned." When he confronted Goliath with immense courage, he didn't do it because of winning personal glory for himself, but because Goliath and the Philistines had defied a God he loved and honoured. He confronts Goliath in 1 Samuel 17 with these words, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." When, under his leadership, the Ark of the Covenant is brought back to Jerusalem amidst great rejoicing, there was David in the midst of the crowd, dancing and praising God in a manner which his wife Michal found highly inappropriate. In all circumstances, David maintained an intimate relationship with God. He poured out his heart to God in no less than 75 psalms, expressing fear, doubt, trust, repentance, and deep, deep praise. These psalms, written 3,000 years ago, continue to inspire worship today. They reveal a man with a true heart for God. Let's just remind ourselves of one or two of them. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Psalm 86, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you." Psalm 18, written while his life was threatened, "I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. And David knew also that to love God meant to seek his guidance and obey him. You know, the Hebrew word used in that commandment in Deuteronomy has in fact more to do with will than emotion. And the link is made very clearly in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. This is love for God, to keep his commands. It is made by Jesus himself in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. In the narrative of David's battles, which are well worth reading, the phrase "he inquired of the Lord" frequently appears at key moments. And twice he had the opportunity to kill King Saul. And he refused because he would not disobey God by killing an anointed king. His love for God's law is evident also in the Psalms. Psalm 119. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. David, a man after God's own heart. It makes me think, do I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength? How much is obeying him and spending time with him a priority for me? Has my love for God grown a little bit cold or weary? May David's passion for and obedience to God be an encouragement and a challenge for us all as we go out from this place. I finish by praying a prayer and inviting you, should you wish to make it your own this morning. I thank you, Father, for loving me with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind. Inspire me this week to love you more with all of mine. Amen.